This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series called Exceeding Faith. Somebody say Exceeding Faith. And really, God doesn't want us staying the same. How many people want to stay the same out here? How many people want to go to the next level? I don't know about you, but I don't like just staying the same. I don't want to be a stagnant Christian. I don't want to just be the same as I was yesterday. I want to grow in Christ. How many people want to grow in Christ? Amen. I want to grow in Christ. And I believe that this faith series is going to help you to grow in Christ, to understand the mechanics of faith and really how faith works so that we can, you know, live that victorious life that I believe we all want. How many people want that victorious life out here? And I believe that we can live days on heaven on earth. Do you believe that today? We can have days of heaven and on earth. And let's look at our main text here in Hebrews 11, 6. One of my favorites, and I have a lot of them. And this one says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who casually..." That's right. That's my reverse translation this morning. "Diligently seek him." So we don't want to be casual seekers of God. We want to be diligent seekers of God. Amen? And so really, that is the way to please him, to know that God is, and really that God exists, that God loves you. You got to get a revelation of God's love, that he loves you and he desires to lavish his blessings on each one of us. And so we need to be pursuing God. Look at your neighbor and say, "Pursue God." And there was a man in the Old Testament. His name was Enoch. He pursued God. He was a man that pursued God back in the day. And in Hebrews 11, 5, it says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God taken him. For before he was taken, he had the testimony that he pleased God." I don't know about you, but you know, I would like people, you know, when I go to the sweet by and by, when I go to heaven, I like people to talk about me saying that the pastor, he loved God and he loved to please God. Amen? I want people to recognize in me that I want to please God, and they should recognize that in you as well. Amen. That you, somebody say, "I'm a God pleaser." Amen. And so we want to be pleasing God. And so we see here there is a blessing in pleasing God. And it is said that really Enoch was the first person to be raptured in the Bible. And rapture means that Jesus, that God called him up to heaven. But you know, Jesus is coming back, amen, believe it or not. And it's getting closer than you think. Yes. And you know, the reward for pleasing God, for walking with God, I believe, is that you will be rapture ready. Amen. And I want to walk with God. I want to please God. Amen. And, you know, in Revelation 22, 12, it says, "And behold, I'm coming quickly." This is Jesus speaking. "And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Amen. So Jesus is coming back and he's going to reward everybody according to their work. The question is, what kind of work are you doing down here? What are you doing down here? What are you doing for the Lord? Or are you living life for yourself? Are you living for God? Are you sold out? Are you picking up your cross every day? Amen. Do I have any disciples in the house today? I'm looking at some disciples here. I'm looking at people that are picking up their cross, following Jesus, saying, you know, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." So nothing's going to turn us back. Is that right? Hallelujah. Okay, I think I got you almost convinced. Amen. Amen. So it says here, if Jesus said, "I'm coming quickly," and that was 2,000 years ago, how much quickly is he coming now? How much sooner is he going to be here now? And you're going to have to be rapture ready. I really believe that because I believe that that the rapture is a reward for those that please God. Amen. Not everybody, I don't believe, and I believe it bears out in the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 made it in and 5 didn't make it in, talking about their oil being filled. And they all knew the Lord, but 5 only made in. Why? Because they kept their relationship tight with God. Amen. And so if we're going to walk in, and stay close to the Lord, we got to strive to keep sin out of our life. Amen. Amen. If you want the joy of the Lord in your life, how many people want the joy of the Lord in their life? Amen. Then you're going to have to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. If you want the joy, I want joy. You know, I want to have joy when I wake up. I want to have joy even when the storm comes in life. I want to continue to be in joy. And if you want that joy, because the Bible says that Jesus is anointed with the oil of joy beyond everybody else. Why? Because he loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. And we got to love righteousness. Look at your neighbor and say, love righteousness. Amen. And so we got to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. In other words, we got to get sin out of our life. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that amen over there. Amen. Amen. And look at what John says here. The Apostle John encourages the church. And the Apostle John in 1 John 2, 28 and 29, he says, now, dear children, continue in him. Now, when I read the Bible, I say, wow, he says, continue in him. Is there a possibility that we may not be able to continue in him? Yes, you can continue in other things. You can make other things your idols. But we want to continue in God. In other words, continue to pray. Continue to read your Bible. Continue to witness. And continue to go to church. Amen. Amen? You want to continue doing the right things. And he says, now, dear children, continue in him. So we want to stay in him. So then when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. So you're called to do what's right. You're not called to do what's wrong. Amen. Now, I know the flesh will try to take control and will yield to the flesh at times. But thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God that his blood forgives us. When we ask forgiveness, he will cleanse us from every sin that we've ever committed. And he will make us brand new again. You believe that today? Amen. Every day can be the first day of the rest of your life and when you repent. Glory to God. But the key is you got to repent. You got to turn from those things. You got to hate the sins that you love. Yeah. I'm going to say that again. You got to hate the sins that you love. Some people say, why do people sin? Because they love it. Their flesh loves it. Their spirit may not love it, but their flesh loves it. And so you got to crucify that flesh. Amen. You can't let that flesh control you, or that flesh will drive you right off a cliff. Do you believe that today? Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We're not going to be controlled by our flesh. So the Apostle John says that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed. When I look at that, that tells me that there's going to be two groups of people when Jesus comes back. There's going to be people that are going to be confident at his return, and there's going to be people that's going to be ashamed. Because he said, do not be ashamed. And so there's a possibility that there's a segment of Christians can be ashamed at Jesus' appearing. Why? Because they're not living their lives right. Amen? And we don't want to be ashamed. The Amplified says it this way. Amen? Because I'm getting you guys rapture ready this morning. Amen. Because Jesus could come back tonight. And I want to see you all up in the air with me. Amen. See you up in the air when Jesus splits the eastern sky. And it says here in 1 John 2:28, the Amplified says, now little children, believers, dear ones, remain in him. That's a good exhortation. Remain in him. That means keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep witnessing. Keep coming to church. Keep worshiping. Thank you. Keep worshiping him. That's a good one too. Keep worshiping him. Amen. And with he says here, now little children, believers, dear ones, remain in him with unwavering faith, so that when he appears and he return, we may have perfect confidence and not be ashamed and shrink away from his coming. That's powerful. That's powerful. So I really believe as Christians that we can be confident when Jesus comes back, we will be taken up with him.
Amen.
I'm not going to stay down here with the backsliders, amen, with those that are living in the world, amen. I don't know if they're going to make it, amen. They need to repent and turn to God. I know repentance is not real, you know, popular, you know, with some churches, you know, repent. Yeah, that's what Jesus said when he came and he told people to repent. Repent means to turn to God and turn away from sin and the world. So here's a rapture promise in 1 Thessalonians, because I'm talking about faith to be raptured in this segment right here. And it says here, for the Lord himself, in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now this is a serious teaching. The rapture of a church is a serious teaching. And I believe this, that Jesus is coming before the seven-year tribulation. I don't believe that Christians are meant to go through the seven-year tribulations. I believe Jesus is supposed to be picking those that are faithful in serving him and are confident that he's coming for them. Somebody say, I'm confident.
I'm confident.
Amen. And all you got to do is, like Enoch, walk with God and please God all that you can do. Amen. And all that and all the way you live your life. Amen. So you can be confident and you can be rapture ready. You can have rapture ready faith. Glory to God. Now, how many people you think wants their families? How many people in here would like to have their family saved? Glory to God. How many people in here have some family members that aren't walking with God yet?
Amen.
I'm saying yet. But pretty soon, I believe that you can have faith to bring your family into the kingdom of God. I believe your faith can make a difference. And so this segment is that you can have a family-saving faith. You can have family-saving faith. My mom was the only Christian in my family. And we were good Methodists. We were good religious people. We showed up on church Sunday morning and lived like the devil the rest of the week. Amen. We gave God 1 hour. Amen. And we were good religious people. There's a lot of good religious people, but you know, if they don't have a relationship with Jesus, they're not going to make it to heaven. They just have religion, but really what Jesus wants us to have is relationship.
Amen.
Can I get a witness in the house today? And so we need to continue to develop our relationship with God. Amen. And I love this because I believe that you can have family saving faith. My mom, she prayed for the entire family, all of us. And I'm telling you, we all came into the kingdom of God, me and my brothers, and we were partiers. any partiers out here? Any people used to party out here? We were partiers. Amen. I loved a good party. Amen. And now church is my party. This is my party, and I will laugh if I want to. I will cry if I want to. Amen. This is my party. This is where I get filled with God. The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart towards the Lord. Amen. I love that. And I believe that you can have your faith can transcend into your family. In my entire family, my brothers and my sister, we're all in church serving God.
Praise the Lord.
Is that awesome?
Amen.
That's a testimony.
Yes.
That's a testimony. And so they're all serving God with all their hearts. Amen. And praise God. And God, of course, like I said last week, that I was the worst in the bunch. in the family. So knowing if you're like the worst person, God has a calling on your life. If you got issues, God has a calling on your life. If you got problems, God has a calling on your life, because the devil doesn't attack people that don't have any potential. Amen. And so if you're being attacked by the devil, if the devil's coming against you, it's because God has a calling on your life and he's trying to bring you to the next level. Say, I have a calling. Glory to God. And so my calling wasn't to be a partier. Amen. My calling wasn't to live my life for myself. The calling that God put on my life was to live my life for Jesus and serve people. That's what God's calling. And God's calling you the same thing. He's calling you to live for Jesus and serve people.
Amen.
Say amen on that. Amen. I know I'm getting excited up here. Glory to God. It's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. It's not the coffee. Amen. Hebrews 11:7. Glory to God. Hebrews 11:7. It says here, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which God condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So we see here that Noah was a man that, you know, the Bible talks about Noah being a righteous preacher in that day, and the world was very sinful at that time, and the world was really going to hell in a handbasket. People were living really bad lives, evil lives, a lot of evil in the world at that time. And so God said, you know, I'm going to have to start over with Noah and his family, and I'm going to have to flood out the earth. But you know, I notice here, it says that Noah, it says here, with godly fear, prepared an ark. And so if we're going to walk in saving, family-saving faith, we're going to have to learn to fear God and obey God. Amen? We got, you know, a lot of times we hear messages that God loves us and God's good, and that's a great message. I love that message. And almost to an over-top love of God, but there's no judgment side of God. But there's always a love of God, and in God's love, he will bring judgment. In other words, God doesn't want us going our own merry way down the primrose path of destruction. Amen. He wants to stop us before we get there. Do you believe that today? And so we got to have mixed in our faith. If you're going to walk in exceeding faith, you're going to have a reverential fear of God. Amen. The world doesn't fear God. The world doesn't, they're not worried about hell. You know, the world doesn't care about hell. They don't care about judgment. The world doesn't even think about it. They don't even think there is a hell. But there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Thank God we woke up.
Amen.
Thank God we realize that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And I'm not going to hell for nobody. I'm not going to go to hell for anybody. I don't care how good they look.
Amen.
Amen. And they can look good. Amen. You know, the devil will try to tempt even the pastor. You know, trade your wife. You know, my wife is in her 40s. Trade her in for 220s. So, you know, the enemy will try to work against even the pastor. But I'm going to say no, because nothing's worth trading. You know, especially my beautiful wife, amen. I wouldn't trade for anything in the world. She's my angel. Glory to God, like I said earlier. And so the enemy will try to tempt and try. If you're not being tempted as a Christian, you might need to check your salvation card. Amen. Because as soon as I got saved, I that's when I found out I got problems. Before I got saved, I didn't think I had any problems. Anybody realize that? Before you got saved, like, man, I'm doing good. I'm okay. You know, sin didn't bother you. Lying, cheating, stealing didn't bother you before you got saved. You weren't bothered by it at all. But you get saved, you don't want to lie anymore. You don't want to do anything wrong anymore. You want to do the right things. Say, I'm doing the right things. So having a reverential fear of God will bring us into helping our families, because our families will see that we fear God, that we love God, and they will, when they get problems, come to you. And when they have problems and they come to you, you're going to say, what? They're going to ask you, what is your secret? And you're going to tell them it's Jesus. Amen. Jesus is your secret, your way out of every problem. He's the answer for the world today. Do you believe that today? Jesus is the answer. I love that. In Proverbs 14:26, it says this, in the fear of the Lord, this is a scripture talking about family saving grace. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. That's a powerful scripture right there in Proverbs. It says, in the fear of the Lord, so when we are honoring God, fear means to honor God above anything else. We're reverencing God. We're revering God. We're putting him first place, glory to God. It says here, when we fear God, it gives us strong confidence, and our children will have a place of refuge. Do you believe that today? I love that. That's a great scripture. Amen. I think that's the first time I ever used that one when I've been ministering on this topic. So the promise is that when we fear God, our family can have a place in heaven. Amen. Glory to God. You believe that today? Yes. Somebody say, my kids are going to heaven. Amen. You got to believe that. Yes. Amen. They're going to heaven if hair lips the devil. They're going to heaven. I heard that before. I heard that from another ministry. So if you're going to walk in the fear of God, amen, you're going to have to walk in integrity. Oh my gosh, the word integrity. If you're going to walk in high faith, you got to walk in integrity. And integrity, I looked this up last night. Amen. I did some homework. Integrity means uprightness of character and action. Do you have uprightness of character and action working in your life? And I love this because my dad was a man of high caliber character. He was a high caliber person, and the whole family serving God because and my mom as well, both of them set the godly example. My mom and my dad would make us go to church even if I was 18 years old. You're going to church. Amen. Amen. Of course, we were religious people back then. But he says, as long as you're under my roof, you're going to church. I say, okay, Dad. Amen. I'm not paying any rent, so I think I can pay an hour to church. Amen. And you know what? It stuck. Because you know what? We're in church today. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart from it. We got to train up our children to be godly. Because the devil wants your children. The devil is trying to take your children down the primrose path of death. But we're not going to let that happen, are we? Amen. Amen. I love that. So the Amplified says it this way. The Proverbs, the New King James says it this way. Righteous man walks in integrity and his children are blessed after him. Proverbs 20, verse 7. But the Amplified says it this way. The righteous man who walks in integrity and lives a life in according with his godly beliefs, how blessed, happy, and spiritual secure are his children after him, who have his example to follow. So what is God calling us to do? He's calling us to be a good example to people all around us, because people are watching us. Amen. Do you believe that today? So the fear of the Lord with Noah brought obedience to build the ark. And when we have the fear of the Lord working in our lives, we will walk obedient to God's word. Because the less obedient you are, the less you fear God. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. The less obedient you are to God, the less you reverence and fear him. And you know what? I want to honor God. I want to walk in high faith. I want to fear God. Amen. And in Psalms 1, fear of God brings obedience. In Psalms 111:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and good understanding have all those who do his commands. Notice that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So the beginning of wisdom is to fear God, and good understanding have all those who do his commands, and his praise endures forever. Powerful. Another example of building a strong faith is that in bringing salvation, that you got to continue to fear God, put Jesus first. In Acts 16, 30 and 31, this was the jailer that had Paul and Silas in the jail. And God shook the prison door, prison, and the chains came off. I don't know if you know the story or not, but they were in the inner prisons, and God shook the prisons because Paul and Silas was praising and praying to God. And I'm telling you, praise can shake your prison doors. Praise can rattle the chains off your wrists. Praise and worship and prayer can bring you into a new level in God. Some of you going through problems, you might need to praise Him a little bit more. Amen. Praise Him out of your problems. Glory to God. In Acts 16:31, he said, he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Because the whole place shook and all the chains of the and the doors were open. And so they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household." That is a promise, I believe, that we can stand for our family to be saved. Amen? In the first message, we talked about that faith comes by hearing and not having heard. So faith doesn't come by seeing miracles. It doesn't come by praying for it. God, give me more faith. No, faith only comes by in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why you're in church this morning. You want to continue to hear the Word of God so you can build a faith arsenal. Remember I said that most of you have bank accounts, glory to God, and most of you deposit money in your bank accounts where your heart is like your bank account in the spirit realm, and you have to put the Word of God in your heart so when you need a withdrawal, you pull it out.
Amen.
And if you don't have any word in your heart, then when the devil comes, you're not going to have too much to come against him with. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So the greatest way faith comes is by speaking out of your mouth. In Joshua 1:8, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your eyes." No, from your mouth. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. So this is telling me that we need to be speaking something. We need to be speaking something out of our mouth. What is the greatest way to fight the devil? You can't, you know, the devil will give you suggestions and thoughts. You can't fight the devil, his thoughts, with your thoughts. The best way to fight the devil is with words. Words are more powerful than thoughts. Can I get a witness in the house today? And some of us aren't speaking enough word. We're not confessing that we have the victory in Jesus Christ no matter what's going on. We're not confessing it enough. And you confess it, you will possess it. And what you confess, you will possess. If you're confessing the problems in life, then that's what you're going to have, problems. But I'm going to confess the promises. Because I want to be walking in promises and not problems. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so he says, the book of the law, talking to Joshua. You know, Joshua was taking over the camp of the Israelites. Moses died. Joshua was not even, you know, he was an untested leader. And God gave him a prescription for success. And that's the prescription for us. He said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. And you may observe to do according to that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. So how do we make our way prosperous? By allowing God's word to come out of our mouths. We speak the promises of God's word until the promises come to pass. When do you stop speaking the promises? You don't. You keep speaking the promises. Amen? So when our faith words can activate faith, and our faith words can remove mountains in our lives. Does anybody have a mountain of problem in your life? Do you got a mountain of debt? Do you got a mountain of issues? Amen. You got a mountain of sickness? Amen. Whatever mountain that you have, you have to just practice Mark 22:23-24. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, have faith in God. In other words, you got to believe that God can do the impossible. We just sang a song, the God of the impossible, that He can do the impossible. And you got to believe that God can do the impossible no matter what it looks like in your realm.
Yes.
Do you believe that he can do the impossible? Yes. Say, I believe that. And then he says, surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, do not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says, it will be done, and he will have whatsoever he says. So when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So your faith words can remove the mountains in your life, whatever that mountain might be, glory to God. And when you speak the word of God, you put angels on notice. Now, I'm going to say this. Are your angels employed in your life? Have you employed your angels lately? Because angels are ready to work on our behalf to help us to live out the life that God's called us to live out. Angels can help you be prosperous. Angels can help you be healthy. Angels can help you with your relationships. Do you believe that? I believe that. And it says here in Psalms 103, verse 20 and 22, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Powerful. I love that. And so in Psalms 103, 20, it says, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength. So God's angels excel in strength and the devil gets tired. I'm going to say it again. We know the devil gets tired because the devil was tempting Jesus in the wilderness and Jesus whooped him with the word of God. And the Bible says the devil left Jesus for a season. So he got tired. So I'm going to say this. The devil gets tired. But you, if you got God in you, you just keep getting stronger. Somebody say, I'm getting stronger in God. You got to believe that. That no matter, it doesn't matter your chronological age. We got a lot of young people in here today. Glory to God. By faith, amen. And your youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes, amen. Glory to God. I mean, people still think I'm in my 40s. Hallelujah. And I'm not telling them any different. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So somebody say, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. And that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is quickening, making alive every part of your mortal body. You believe that today? You have life quickening spirit, quickening your spirit and your body today. Glory to God. Amen. So there is power also in speaking the word of God. Angels go into play and there is power. That's how God gets a lot of things done through angels. A lot of people think he just kind of twitches his nose or does one of these, you know, and it happens. No, angels go in to work. Amen. It says here the power of speaking. The next key here, if you're going to walk in exceeding faith, that you have to speak the name of Jesus. How many people are speaking the name of Jesus? I'm telling you, sometimes I'm missing something. If I just say, in the name of Jesus, help me find it, Lord. It works. Have you ever lost anything and then just called on Jesus? Amen. And you call on the name of Jesus, it will work. Amen. It says in John 16, 23, 24, in that day you will ask me nothing, but surely I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father's name, he will give you. Until now you ask nothing in my name. Ask and you receive. Ask and you will receive that your joy will be made full. Glory to God. So here, Jesus is saying, in that day, what day is that? That's today. That's the day that Jesus went, it's the day that Jesus went to the cross, sitting on the right hand of the throne of the Father. He's the one there, and he's saying, and his name is powerful. I'm going to say this, that every demonic force has to bow to the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Whatever demonic force is trying to control your life, it will bow down to the name of Jesus. Do you believe that today? You speak in the name of Jesus. And there's people that are yielding to demonic forces. They open themselves up and they yield to demonic forces. And these forces want to control people and wreck their lives. And you can use the name of Jesus, bind that spirit that's working through your kids, that's doing the wrong things, and release the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. Because demonic spirits are real and they are working today. Just watch the news. Amen. Amen. There's murder and all this going on every day of the week. Amen. And who's promoting that? The devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So this, the name of Jesus will arrest every evil force. It says in Philippians 2, 10 and 11, now that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That's it. At the name of Jesus, every knee. That means every spirit has to bow to that name. And those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. I think that's pretty clear. That's everyone. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God by the Father. So we see here that our faith can make a difference when we use the name of Jesus and we can bind the evil forces that are trying to come against us or our families. Do you believe that today? It's not the will of God that you lose. It's the will of God that you win. God's will for your life is not sickness, it's health. God's will for your life is not poverty, it's prosperity. God's will for your life is not a bad relationship, but a good relationship. He wants us having good relationships, good marriages, good relationships with your families. Do you believe that today? That's God's best for us. I don't know about you, but I'm striving for the abundant life. How many people in here are looking for the abundant life in here? I want to walk in the abundant life every day of my life. And you can do it. Amen? So we're going to switch gears a little bit. And we're going to talk about how faith can be measured. You know your faith can be measured? Can I get out of my seat this morning? Your faith can be measured. Amen? You can have... let's look at 2 Thessalonians 1:3. It says, for we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abound towards each other. So Paul is talking here and he's talking to the Thessalonians and he's saying that their faith grows exceedingly. And how does your faith grow exceedingly? When your love grows exceedingly. If your love is growing, your faith is growing. If your love is diminishing, your faith is diminishing. Did I get that out? Amen. So if your love is going down, if your love walk's going down, your faith walk's going down. Because notice here it said they had growing, exceeding faith, and their love abound towards each other. How do people know that we love God? It's because we love each other. And we honor one another. You honor one another. Glory to God. And so I love that. And so here he's saying that their faith grows exceedingly. And hopefully in these series, your faith will grow exceedingly, that you will go to the next level and break the barriers in your life. There are barriers out here that the devil doesn't fight you with where you're at. He fights you where you can be. That's where he fights you. He doesn't want you getting to that next. Say, I'm getting to the next level. Amen. Amen. So God wants our faith to increase. You can have little faith. You know, we can have little faith. And little faith, Jesus talks about. Let's look at Luke 12:22. And he said to the disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about the body, what you will put on. And then if then God so clothes the grass, which today is filled and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? So we see here Jesus equates little faith to worrying about the little things in life. In other words, the little things that Jesus considers is food, clothing, and shelter. And that's what the world worries about. But as Christians, we don't worry about that stuff. I don't worry about money, glory to God, because God has my back. Glory to God. I don't worry about a place to live. Amen. Because if it gets really bad, I can move in with mom. No, I'm kidding. Amen. You know, that's just in case if it gets really bad, I got mom. Hallelujah. I thought about it at times. I said, no, I'm figuring things out. You know, if the worry starts coming in, well, I could always fall back on mom. Amen. Glory. Is that right, Mom? She shook her head. Yes, that's it. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank God for moms. Thank God for godly mothers. Where would we be at without our godly mothers? We would be in trouble. Is that right? Amen. So we don't want to worry, especially if you have a godly mother that has real estate. Amen. Glory to God. That's always good. And God is good. Amen. So we don't want to worry about the things that the world worries about. Why? Because God, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with some of your heart. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. One translation says, He shall make the crooked path straight. So I love that one. Whatever crooked path you might be on, God can straighten it up. Amen. As long as you trust Him. Amen. The Bible says in Philippians, talking about not having little faith, worrying about the little things. Don't sweat the small stuff. There's a book written. Somebody wrote it. Don't sweat the small stuff. We don't want to sweat the small stuff. Amen. And the Bible says in Philippians, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, but in everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So we're not supposed to have any anxiety. Amen? We're not supposed to be anxious for anything, but through everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. If we're worried, it's because we're not thanking God enough for what we're believing Him for. I'm going to say it again. If we're worried, we're not thanking God enough for believing Him for what we desire from Him. If you start thanking Him, praying, giving it to God, He will make it come to pass. So you got to get humble before the Lord. And an act of humility is giving your worries to God. You know, Jesus was on the water. He walked on the water when a storm was coming up in Matthew 14. He sent his disciples out on a boat, and then a storm came. And then Jesus, I'm not going to read it, but Jesus walked on the water, and they got freaked out. They thought it was a ghost. And Jesus said, do not fear, or he said, be of good cheer, it is I. So whenever you see Jesus coming to you, always don't be full of fear. Be of good cheer. Amen. And then Peter said, Jesus, if that's really you, bid me to come out on the water. And Jesus said, come. And so Peter came out and he had, I would say, if you're walking on water, I would say that's great faith. Would you say that's great faith? Unless it's a frozen lake. Amen. So I would say that's great faith. So he was walking on water, but then the wind blew and the water boisted up. And then Peter took his eyes off Jesus and started looking around. You know, the Bible said, don't look to the right, don't look to the left, but keep your foot on the straight and narrow path. And so we don't want to look to the right, what's going on over here or what's going on over there. We want to stay focused on Jesus. And so the Bible says that he started to sink when he focused on the wrong things. You're going to sink in life when you focus on the wrong things. You're going to rise in life when you focus on Jesus. Focuses on Jesus means Jesus is the Word of God. You're focusing on the Word. And when you're focused on the Word, you will always be a water walker in your life. Do you believe that today? And so Jesus took him by the hand. They ended up back on the boat, glory to God. And Jesus said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? So we see here in this account here that Peter was walking in great faith, and you can go from great faith to little faith all in a short span of time. You can have great faith in church on Sunday morning. You're pumped up. You're fired up. You get in the car. You get in an argument with your spouse, and that's it. That's it. You lost everything you heard in church. Glory to God. You were in high faith. Now doubt. I don't even know why I even come to church. We always argue. You know? Do you know what I'm saying? And you can lose it that quick. In a New York second, everything can change. Or is that New York minute? In a New York minute, Everything can change. That's a song, by the way. But anyway, that's if you guys are catching my humor here. So what am I saying? You can go from great faith to little faith in a short span of time. You know, there was a centurion. If you want to have great faith, how many people want to have great faith in here? Man, you got to be like the centurion. This centurion had a servant that was sick in his house in Matthew 8, 5 and 13. And this centurion had a sick servant. And he went to Jesus and said to Jesus, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. And Jesus was going to come to his house. That's how amazing Jesus is. And he said, I'm not worthy. I understand authority. I say to this person, go this way. And they go because he was a centurion. He had 100 people that he was over. And so he when he gives a command, that command is executed. Do you believe that today? And so he said, Jesus, all you have to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. And so Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith in all of Israel. And he said, this man has faith, and even the people that were called to have faith doesn't have that kind of faith. Amen. And so he just said, just speak the word. If you're going to have mountain moving faith, if you're going to have exceeding growing faith, you're going to have to take God at his word and believe it. Yes. You're going to have to believe it. You don't have to see an angel to believe God's word. Amen. You don't have to have a heavenly vision. God, give me a vision before I believe. Just give me a vision. No, you don't need. The word is the vision. The word will give you a vision. So if you just believe the word, just like that centurion, believe the word. And the Bible said that the centurion's servant was healed that very hour. Can you believe that? So we just have to believe God's word. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Just believe that God's word has enough power to do what it says it's going to do. God watches over his word to perform it. His word does not return void. When it's spoken, it will accomplish everything it says it will accomplish. You believe that today? And if you're going to have great faith, there was this woman from the region of Tyre and Sidon, and she was a Canaanite woman, and she went to Jesus because her daughter had a spirit on her, and she was her daughter was demon possessed. But, you know, she kept pushing Jesus, and Jesus said, it's not good for me to throw the children's bread to the dogs. You know the story. And Jesus did not immediately give her what she wanted. But there was a process in time, and she kept pressing Jesus. Sometimes there's a process in the promise. And sometimes you're going to have to stand when you haven't seen it yet. Once you've done all, stand and keep standing. You may not see that promise immediately, but it will surely come to pass if you keep staying persistent and you keep standing on God's word, it will come to pass. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. And Jesus talks about he talks about the parable that you should always, you know, pray and never faint. Always pray and never lose heart. Glory to God. Because I'm telling you, you keep standing, it will surely come to pass. So we have discovered today that we can have rapture-ready faith by pleasing God and walking with God by staying close to Him every day. We can have family-saving faith by walking in the fear of God and obeying God's word every day. We can grow in our faith and developing our faith from little faith to great faith by standing on God's word and not giving up. And if you take these keys this morning, I believe that you'll be walking in exceeding growing faith, and you will have all the desires of your heart, because as you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness this morning. I thank you for those that are here in the audience, those watching online. Perhaps you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now, asking to come in. So if you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just say this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that in the audience or even watching or listening, we believe you got born again. Stay connected to Exceed Life Church. If you're here locally in the area, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We want you to be a part of the family. If you're not locally in the area, find a good church home that will help you move your faith walk down the road with God so that you can walk in that exceeding faith.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.